South Australian LGBTIQA plus advocacy bodies are calling for reforms, urging all candidates to commit to legislate to ban the inciting of hate around sexual orientation, gender identity and grounds of sex. This follows reports exposing controversial comments from Northern Suburbs Liberal candidate around feminism and homosexuality. It comes just days after South Australia's One Nation candidate affirmed previous offensive comments about same-sex marriage. Charlie Hamra is the president of the South Australian chapter of Pride in Law, and I spoke with him to hear more on the issue.
Well, comments that marginalise the queer community just add to the experience that we've had for decades, longer centuries of marginalisation and othering. To hear your existence denied just really compounds what is already a pretty dire situation for a lot of members of our LGBTQIA plus community.
In terms of South Australia's legal protections around hate speech, I understand these are mostly aimed at racial vilification. Do they offer any protections at all for LGBTIQA plus communities?
No, they don't. So at the moment, LGBTQIA plus people have no protection from hate speech, no legislated protections. And that's something that we, together with South Australian Rainbow Advocacy Alliance, have been campaigning to change. At the moment, we're experiencing across a whole range of areas rising temperatures in the kind of rhetoric that we're seeing in the public debate, really extreme views. And that goes as well, not only for LGBTQIA plus people, but also disabled people, people of different religious backgrounds, and people with different other protected characteristics.
Now, I understand that there have also been some calls for a state-based human rights charter or a human rights act. How could this fit into the picture, and what's your stance on this?
So, in South Australia, we've had a recommendation from a parliamentary committee for a human rights act, and our South Australian Rainbow Advocacy Alliance has been campaigning and advocating for a Human Rights Act also. A Human Rights Act goes part of the way to addressing the problem, and it's a really important norm-setting measure. So if human rights are placed front and centre, we're actually thinking about rights. We're thinking about how they intersect. And if we tackle human rights, we can tackle discrimination based across a broad range of intersecting marginalised groups. Discrimination hurts us all. And when one group's marginalised, it damages the social fabric for all South Australians. And that's why we would join with Sarah's call for a human rights framework.
Now, in terms of better legal protections and also legal supports, what else do you want to see on that, and how do you want to see potentially, you know, federal government also support state government on that?
So our anti-discrimination framework at the moment is outdated and severely lacking, and so we're calling for an overhaul of that framework because it's really underutilised, and so there's a huge gap between our lived experience and the complaint statistics. So while most LGBTQIA plus South Australians experience unfair treatment related to their sexual orientation or gender identity, over a five-year period, only 39 complaints of discrimination relating to gender identity, sexual orientation or intersex status were made to the Equal Opportunity Commission under our anti-discrimination framework. So it just goes to show that the processes aren't being utilised, and they really do need a modernisation. So we're calling for on that modernisation, and I note that the Royal Commission into Domestic and Family Violence in South Australia also made this call, and the government of the day has accepted that recommendation. So it remains to be seen after our March state election if that is implemented. The other, I've mentioned anti-vilification laws that are needed to stop the most extreme end. But the anti-discrimination framework sort of sits in underneath that, alongside what we would say a human rights framework would do, to really create a comprehensive protection for LGBTQIA plus South Australians and other members of other marginalised groups. In terms of being assisted to navigate the system, it's really important that legal and other social supports are designed by LGBTQIA plus people for LGBTQIA plus people.
The Australian government passed some amendments to the Anti-Semitism, Hate and Extremist Bill. I understand that disability communities and also gender identity and sexual orientation weren't included in the updates or the amendments. What's your response to this?
We were very disappointed that the amendments failed to adequately protect LGBTQIA plus people. In our view, that was a missed opportunity, and vilification laws have to apply equally. In our view, that's what we're advocating for at a state level and at a federal level. As I said, when hate affects one group, it actually affects our entire society. It damages the social fabric. And so it's been disappointing to be left out of those reforms, but we are hopeful that the government, federal government, will see fit to do the right thing and expand those reforms as the parliamentary term progresses.
Why do you think potentially it's important to address more inclusive language and address that at a societal level?
So more inclusive language is needed to show people that they're a member of our society, a valued member of our society, and a valued member of our community. Inclusive language doesn't take anything away from anyone, it adds to us as a society. So when you acknowledge someone's pronouns correctly, that's validating their experience and not marginalising or othering them, not saying that they're someone other than who they are as a person. And we've been doing this in terms of inclusive language. This has been a slow march for many years. We no longer speak of a chairman of meetings. This idea of modernising and updating our language, this is something that we're not unfamiliar with, and it doesn't take a lot.
President of the South Australian chapter of Pride in Law, Charlie Hammerer, speaking with me.